appreciate the Lord for another opportunity to be back at your way of listening. I'm thankful that His mercy renews every morning. His compassions never fail. I'm just thankful to be saved, thankful to be born again today, trying to bring the word to you, the good news of the glorious gospel. And I'm thankful that God saved my soul over 6 years ago. This year in October will be 7 years that I've been born again, been saved. Some people don't understand what born again really means. Not meaning, you know, literally being born again in the womb, because that's already taken place. That's not possible. But that's a water birth there. That's already happened to me. But I needed a spiritual birth. I needed to be cleansed on the inside. You don't cleanse yourself on the outside. You don't stop drinking. You don't stop doing drugs. You don't stop this and that and the other just to make yourself feel good. You know, turn over a new leaf, or getting baptized in the water, joining up with a church, having a dose of religion, so-called. All that's, you know, just temporal to this flesh, you see. But you need something on the inside. You need to be born again. You need to be saved. Having a broken heart and a contrite spirit, calling upon God with all your heart, giving your whole life, your whole being, everything to God, really meaning business, being determined enough to give your life to Him. And you'll feel that Holy Spirit come on the inside. He'll dwell with you. He'll be with you even unto the end of the world. You won't have to worry about, you know, feeling alone or depressed anymore, being stressed out, just troubled, overwhelmed with life. That Holy Spirit is the Comforter. That's what the Bible said. He said He'll send back the Comforter to be with us even unto the end of the world. Thank God my sheep have eternal life, and no man shall ever pluck them out of my hand. I'm thankful the Bible gives us those precious promises, and I'm standing on the promises of God today, you know, having faith enough to be able to know the message is going to come from heaven. I depend on that. I depend on the Holy Spirit to use me to open up my mouth, to open up my heart and let the Word of God flow, and just hope that, you know, and know that God's there with me. He always is, every time. I've learned that from my preacher, from the pastor that I have, from people in the church that preach the Word of God. I've learned from that, and I read it in the Bible, how Paul stood by faith. He got killed, they stoned him to death, and he rose up. God rose him up from the dead, and he went on preaching to the same city that he just got stoned by. He's a man of faith there, one of the greatest preachers God ever let live. But listen to what he said. You can read about it in his letter. He said, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" You see, he knew this flesh. He knew how rotten it was. He had temptations just as like you and just like me. I still have temptations today. I'm not a perfect man. I'm the furthest from perfect. I'm the least of the brethren. I feel insignificant. I feel like I'm nothing. I'm a nobody, and I am. The only good thing about me is the Holy Spirit, Jesus, on the inside. He's the only good part about me. It was what He did for me over 6 years ago. I remember it just like it was yesterday. I remember calling out upon Him with a broken heart. In a contrite spirit, I was tired of feeling the way I was feeling, doing the things that I was doing, committing the sins that I was committing. I'm just thankful that Scripture says, "This poor man cried, the Lord heard his cry, and delivered me from every trouble that I had." Thank God for it. It helped me. It gave me true peace. It gave me joy, satisfaction, something I couldn't find in the world. I tried to find it in the world. I tried the different things in this life. I went here. I went to this person's house. I did this. I had a foul mouth. The old saying, cussing like a sailor. Every other word that I used was a curse word. It's all these things piled onto one, onto my heart. And I was overwhelmed with it. I was tired. I was distraught, depressed, just troubled, like a refrigerator was on my back. I couldn't even bear the burden no more. But I'm thankful. The preacher told me about a man named Jesus that would die on the cross of Calvary with his arms spread open. He was lifted up so he could draw all men unto him. He saves by many or by few. You just got to call out upon him with all of your heart, with that broken heart and contrite spirit. I know you're already tired. You're already tired of living the way you're living. You're already tired of feeling the way you're feeling. Maybe you're going through a breakup. Maybe you're going through alcohol, depression, and just withdrawals of doing drugs and smoking and having sex all the time with different women or men. You're just not getting satisfied. You got to keep going back and doing it over and over until you have a little satisfaction, and then it goes away. You have headaches. You have heartaches. You have depression. You have all these things that pile up upon you, and you just don't know where to turn. A lot of people are committing suicide today because they don't have hope. They've never heard the good news, the true gospel of the, you know, the lost and dying world, the people that don't hear it no more. There's no preachers out there. There's nobody really telling people about hell and heaven, you know, put together as two destinations when you die. This soul that you have is eternal. They don't really know how serious they need to take their life. life. People just take it from themselves. They just kill themselves, you see. It's pitiful. It's just depressing and upsetting to hear about all these young people killing themselves, and even older people. They just don't have the hope that I've had, that I've been blessed to be taught by a preacher that told me about a man named Jesus. And everybody knows who Jesus is. We can believe on His name. You can believe that He died on the cross of Calvary, that He shed His blood, that He rose from the dead, that He left the splendor of heaven for everybody. You said you can believe all that, but you got to believe on a heart. You got to give your heart to God, to give your whole life to Him. That's what God's waiting on. He knows you believe in Him. He knows you know that He's real. But see, you got to give your heart to Him. You got to be determined enough to give your whole life, your whole being. I was determined that day. I remember I had an emotional experience when I was 13 years old, the first age of being a teenager. I had an emotional experience. I had a few tears run down my face. Granted, I knew if I died in the condition that I was, I would go to hell. I knew that. I was in the same condition that you are right now, that you're listening to me. You're on your way there. If you've never been born again, if you don't correspond, you don't agree with what I'm talking about, you're having convictions in your heart, then evidently you're missing something on the inside. You see, the Holy Spirit is giving the message today, as He always does. You got to listen. I know this may be your second or third time being here, but just open up your heart. Just let God speak to you. Just open it up. Let the King of Glory come in. He's waiting at your heart's door. He's been knocking on there. I know you've been going through different things at work or your family or different things in your life, and you're just starting to wonder why in the world is coming at you like it is. But you see, God's speaking to you. The Holy Spirit is dealing with you. He wants to save you. He wants to give you the true peace and joy that you've been looking for, the satisfaction on the inside that only God gives. He said, the peace I give, the world can't give unto you. That's what God gives. It's wonderful. It's precious. I can't really put it in the words. Paul says, joy unspeakable and full of glory. I can't really put it in the words because God wants you to experience it for yourself. You see, if we could explain it so wonderfully, then you wouldn't be, you know, you'd be like, oh, that's not too great. You know, that's not really something I was looking for. But see, you need to experience this. You need eternal life. God gives eternal life. He don't give you, He don't save you just to take it away from you. You see, when you really get born again, when you really get saved, it's not like a plan, a blueprint where it says, all right, you can be saved 30 days here, or you can get saved for 90 days, or a year, or 2 years. When God saves you, He does it perfect. He don't do any halfway jobs. He does it perfect. He does it complete. That's why He was perfect from the top of His head to the bottom of His feet. When He left the splendor of heaven, God gave Him a man's body out of Abraham's seed, you see. Abraham didn't bear Him, you see, but He was through the seed of Abraham, the blessed seed, through Isaac, to Jacob, all the way down to Judah. And then, you know, it kept going on until Jesus was born, you see. That's what happens. He was born in the womb of a virgin, Mary, you see. And no man could conceive Jesus. God placed the seed in Mary, and people praise Mary for who she was. She was a good woman because she doth magnify the Lord with her spirit, with her soul and her body. She loved the Lord Jesus. She loved Him before He was even born. She knew about Him. But see, she's not the blessed one. She's not the omnipotent. She's not the propitiation. She's not the remission. She's not the one that you got to get your soul, the blood, the cleanse, you know, the only lamb, the spotless lamb. That's Jesus. It said there's none other name given among men whereby you must be saved. He's the only one that can save you. See, you got to realize who you're talking about here, who you're trying to believe on. It's not no Buddha. It's not Muhammad. There's no Quran that you can believe on to be saved and go to heaven. You see, that all that's going to burn in hell. You see, those gods, so-called gods, are already dead. There's only true and one living God, and that's who I'm served today, the Holy Spirit. I know it for sure because He lives within my heart. He speaks to me. He guides me. He just talks with me all the time in the cool of the garden. Thank God. Every morning I can wake up and depend on the Holy Spirit to be there. I can pray to Him. I can speak to Him and bring every burden and cast them at His precious feet. Anything that I go through, any burden, any physical need that I have, or anybody else that has in my heart, in my life that I'm praying for, I can know and depend on that He's going to hear and He's going to answer that prayer. Thank God for it. I'm just so thankful to be saved today. I wish you had this Holy Spirit on the inside just like I do. God don't give no measure. He gives a measure of faith, and it's up to us to build upon that faith and have more faith and trust in God and grow as a Christian, go on higher and holier ground. There's never a time where I felt like that I'm just where I need to be. These people that so-called Christians that say, I'm on fire for God, I'm this, I'm that, and the other, I'm just doing so good, I feel exactly where I need to be, I'm righteous, I'm this and that. No, I never felt that way. You see, I felt as being a nobody. I feel more of a nobody than I ever had before, because I've been trying to humble myself in the sight of God, because the Bible said when you humble yourself in the sight of God, God shall lift you up. You see, God gives the increase. Well, I can't increase in myself, I must decrease, that God may increase in me. The Bible talked about what Paul planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. You see, God's the only one that can use us, that can speak through us. The Holy Spirit, that's the one dwelling on the inside. He's the only one that can give the message. If I try to pre-plan and write down a big piece of paper or type it up on the computer and print it out and start preaching a message, it wouldn't come out right. The Holy Spirit wouldn't be in it. You see, the Holy Spirit has to give it. I've been taught by my preacher and people that preach that I know in my church to live by faith, to preach by faith, to open up my heart and just let God, let the Holy Spirit take over. And He always does. He always gives exactly what's needed. There may be stuttering. There may be, you know, going from this subject to another, but it's all going to come back together and make a full circle to exactly what you need to hear today. Open up your heart. Let God speak to you. Just get saved today. It's easier said than done. I know that because I was in the same position as you are. I was in the same shoes as you are. You see, I had the same problem of the unbelief, the sin of unbelief, not really believing with all my heart. Yes, I knew who Jesus was. I believe He died. I believe He left the splendor of heaven. He was born in the womb of a virgin. He rose from the dead. He shed His blood at Calvary. I believed all this. I knew it. From when I was just a little boy, I understood it. But see, I didn't believe on Him with all of my heart. So the Bible said, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Being baptized in the water, turning over a new leaf, doing all the good deeds, giving your money to the church, or helping the poor, all that's fine and dandy. But see, it's, you got to get born again. You got to get saved. He told Nicodemus, He said, you must be born again. And he didn't understand it because he had, you know, he had full knowledge of the law, but he didn't quite understand what Jesus was talking about when He said, you must be born again. He said, clearly, I'm way too big to get back in my mother's womb and be born again. He said, you must be born of the water, which you've already had, but you must be born of the Spirit also. That's the Holy Spirit that dwells on the inside. That's what you need today. You need to call out on God with that broken heart. I know you're already tired of living the way you're living. This world is chaotic. This world is in violence and confusion. The devil's on a rampage, walking to and fro, just like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He wants to kill you today. He wants to take the Word of God, this seed that's being sown in your heart today. He wants to take it from you, you see. He wants to take it right on out and never let you hear it again. I pray to God that the devil would work on you so strong that you may open up your heart and really receive the Word with the engrafted Word, which is able to save your soul. Be it with humbleness. Don't try to receive this with pride, because you won't receive anything from God if you're prideful. If you think you know better, you know, I'm still a young man, but I've learned a lot. I know what I'm talking about today because I've been on both sides. I've lived the life of a sinner. I've tried many things. The devil painted pretty pictures in my mind. He's the world's greatest artist. There's no artist, no flanker, no deceiver greater than him. He's the liar and the father of it. He knows all things about you. He knows everything about me. Everybody in this world put together is no match for the devil. Even the greatest men of the Bible, there's no match. We can look at David, a man after God's own heart, for God to say that he's a man after God's own heart, meaning he was a great man. God really blessed David. He used him in a mighty way to fight many battles, and he used them to speak His Word. You see, God blessed them so mightily. But see, even David, just even a man like that, failed a great sin. You see, he killed a man. He committed murder and adultery simultaneously. You see what he did. He did it to Uriah the Hittite, Bathsheba. He took his wife, and he tried to hide it. She got pregnant. He tried to hide it by getting Uriah Hittite drunk and going to have sex with his wife, Bathsheba, and then say that it was his kid. But no, he couldn't. You know, Uriah was a faithful man. He said, I won't go her. In the midst of a battle, David, I will not go home and enjoy myself with my wife when there's men out there that I need to help. I need to set a good example. He was one of the mighty 30. You see, he didn't want to do that, so he laid on the front steps, that porch out there with all the other soldiers. He said, I won't go out there. So David sent him out. He sent Joab a letter saying it was his death note. Uriah Hittite carried his own death note to Joab, and he went out to battle, and Joab backed up and left him in the forefront of the battle, and he got killed. David murdered him, and so to speak, by another man, is still murder, and he had sex with his wife. You see, he committed these two things simultaneously, and it shows that we're all capable of doing anything today. But I see my time's about gone. Do some praying. Call out upon God with all your heart. May God bless you. In Jesus' precious name, amen.